And good afternoon. You're listening to Ken Hudnall. This is the Ken Hudnall Show. Coming to you from our studios right here in exciting El Paso, Texas. Gateway to the Old West and the most haunted city in the country. Well, today's October the 12th, 285th day of the year. Only 80 days remain till the year's over with. On this day in history in 593 B.C., the army of Cyrus the Great of Persia conquers Babylon, ending the Babylonian Empire. 633 AD, Battle of Hatfield Chase. King Edward of Northumbria is defeated and killed by an alliance under Penda of Mercia and Caedwalla of Gwynedd. 1279, the Nichiren Shoshu branch of Buddhism is founded in Japan. 1398, in the Treaty of Salinas, Lithuania cedes Samogitia to the Teutonic Knights. The Teutonic Knights, of course, was the German version of the Knights Templar. 1406, Chen Yangtsang, the only person from Indonesia known to have visited dynastic Korea, reaches Seoul after having set out from Java 4 months before. 1492, on this date, Christopher Columbus's first expedition makes landfall in the Caribbean, specifically in the Bahamas. 1654, the Delft explosion devastates the city in the Netherlands, killing more than 100 people. It's also known in history as the Delft thunderclap. A gunpowder store exploded, destroying much of the city. Thousands were injured, in addition to the over 100 that were killed. About 30 tons of gunpowder were stored in barrels in a magazine in the former Clarice Convent in the Don Quartier district. Cornelius Sultans, the keeper of the magazine, opened the store to check a sample of the powder, and a huge explosion fired. A lot of citizens were away visiting a market or a fair in The Hague. The day of the explosions primarily remembered for killing Rembrandt's most promising pupil, Karel Fabritius, and destroying almost all of his work. 1692, the Salem Witch Trials are ended by a letter from the province of Massachusetts, Governor William Phipps. 1748, the War of Jenkins' Ear. British squadron wins a tactical victory over a Spanish squadron off Havana. 1773, America's first insane asylum opens up. 1792, the first celebration of Columbus Day is held in New York City. Now, of course, the woke generation has decided Columbus was evil. 1793, the cornerstone of Old East, the oldest state university building in the U.S., is laid at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. This date in 1798, Flemish and Luxembourgish peasants launched the rebellion against French rule known as the Peasants' War. It was a revolt against the French occupiers of the southern Netherlands. That region that now includes Belgium, Luxembourg, and parts of Germany. French annexed that region in 1795, and control was not officially ceded to the French until after the Treaty of Campo Formio in 1797. The revolts, considered part of the French Revolutionary Wars, you have to wonder how many people have died in the name of religion, because that's what the basis of it was. 1799, Jean Genevieve Lombroso becomes the first woman to jump from a balloon with a parachute. There were a number of others who jumped without a parachute previously, but their names are not known. 1810, the citizens of Munich hold the first Oktoberfest. 1822, Pedro I of Brazil is proclaimed the emperor. Brazil was an empire. In fact, it was the Emperor Brazil who invited Confederates to settle there in the aftermath of the Civil War. And as I've said before, there was a Confederate city where they raised the Confederate flag every morning. 1849, the city of Manizales, Colombia is founded by the Expedition of the 20. 1856, a 7.7 to 8.3 earthquake off the Greek island of Crete causes major damage as far away as Egypt and Malta. 1871, the British in India enact the Criminal Tribes Act, naming many local communities as criminal tribes. 1890, Udavala Suffrage Association is formed. 1892, the Pledge of Allegiance is first recited by students in a number of U.S. public schools. Now that's considered passé by the woke generation. 1901, President Theodore Roosevelt officially renames the Executive Mansion the White House. Got a good deal on white paint, don't you know? 1915, World War I, British nurse Edith Cavell is executed by German firing squad for helping Allied soldiers escape from Belgium. 1917, World War I, the First Battle of Passchendaele takes place, resulting in the largest single-day loss of life in New Zealand history. 1918, a massive forest fire kills 453 people in Minnesota. 1928, an iron lung respirator is used for the first time at Boston Children's Hospital. 1933, the military Alcatraz Citadel becomes the civilian Alcatraz Federal Penitentiary. The Alcatraz Citadel was actually initially a Civil War fort designed to protect San Francisco Bay. The 1944 World War II. The Axis occupation of Athens comes to an end on this date. 1945 World War II. Desmond Doss is the first conscientious objector to receive the U.S. Medal of Honor. 1945, the Lao Isara took control of Laos's government, reaffirmed the country's independence. 1959, at the National Congress of the American Popular Revolutionary Alliance in Peru, a group of leftist radicals are expelled from the party, and they later formed the APRA Rebelde. 1960, Soviet Premier Nikita Khrushchev pounds his shield on a desk at the UN to protest a Philippine assertion. 1960, the Japan Socialist Party leader Inihiro Asanuma stabbed to death during a live television broadcast. 1962, the Columbus Day storm strikes the U.S. Pacific Northwest with record wind velocities. It caused at least $230 million in damages in 1962 dollars, and 46 people died. 1963, after nearly 23 years of imprisonment, Reverend Walter Sizdik, a Jesuit missionary, is released from the Soviet Union. 1964, the Soviet Union launches Voskhod 1 into Earth orbit as the first spacecraft with a multi-person crew, and it was the first flight where no one had to wear pressure suits. 1967, a bomb explodes on board Cyprus Airlines Flight 284 while flying over the Mediterranean. 66 people are killed. 1968, Equatorial Guinea becomes independent from Spain. 1970, Vietnam War. Vietnamization continues as President Nixon announces the U.S. a withdrawal of 40,000 more troops before Christmas. 1971, 2,500-year celebration of the Persian Empire begins. 1979, Typhoon Tip becomes the largest and most intense tropical cyclone ever recorded. 1983, Japan's former Prime Minister Tanaka Kakeyu is found guilty of taking a $2 million bribe to Lockheed Corporation. He sentenced to 4 years in jail. Didn't say if he had to give the money back. 1984, the Provisional Irish Republican Army failed to assassinate Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher and her cabinet. the bomb, which does go off, killed 5 people and wounds 31. 1988, two officers of the Victoria Police are gunned down execution style in the Wall Street police shootings in Australia. 1992, a 5.8 earthquake occurred in Cairo, Egypt. Over 500 are killed. 1994, the Magellan spacecraft burns up in the atmosphere of Venus. 1997, the Sidi Daoud massacre in Algeria kills 43 at a fake roadblock. It took place outside the village of Sidi Daoud near Sig, western Algeria. The roadblock was set up by terrorists, of course. In 1998, Matthew Shepard, a gay student at University of Wyoming, dies 5 days after he was beaten outside of Laramie. In 1999, Pervez Musharraf takes power in Pakistan from Nawaz Sharif through a bloodless coup. Also in 1999, a former autonomous Soviet Republic of Abkhazia declared its independence from Georgia. 2000, USS Cole, the U.S. Navy destroyer, is badly damaged by 2 suicide bombers. It also killed 17 crew members and wounded at least 39. 2002, terrorists detonate bombs in the Sari Club in Bali, killed 202 and wounded over 300. 2005, the second Chinese human spaceflight, Shenzhou 6, is launched carrying 2 cosmonauts in orbit for 5 days. 2010, the Finnish UTV2 channel, Askotainen Kakkonen, current affairs program, features controversial Homilita episode. Literally, that translated as gay night, which led to the resignation of almost 50,000 Finns from the Evangelical Lutheran Church. 2013, 51 people are killed after a truck veers off a cliff in Peru. 2017, the U.S. announces its decision to withdraw from UNESCO. Israel immediately follows. 2018, Princess Eugenie marries Jack Brooksbank at St. George's Chapel at Windsor Castle. 2019, Typhoon Hagibis makes landfall in Japan, kills 10, forces the evacuation of over 1 million people. Also in 2019, Eliud Kipchoge from Kenya, first person to run a marathon in less than 2 hours with a time of 1 hour and 59 minutes and 40 seconds in Vienna. And in 2019, the Hard Rock Hotel in New Orleans, which is under construction, collapses, kills 2 and injures 20. A lot of births and deaths on this date in history. Holidays observances, Christian Feast Day, Blessed Louis Bisseron, Edith Cavell and Elizabeth Fry in the Church of England, FIAC, Our Lady of the Pillar in the Fiesta del Pilar, Our Lady of Aparecida, Radam Gaudentius in the Czech Republic, Seraphim of Montenegro, Wilfrid of Ripon, Carlo Acutis, Children's Day in Brazil, Discovery of America by Columbus related observances. There's a number on this date. In Honduras, it's Columbus Day. The woke generation has not yet taken over Honduras. Dia de la Hispanidad, or Fiesta Nacional de España. Also Armed Forces Day in Spain. And Dia de la Raza in El Salvador and Uruguay. Dia de Resistencia Indigenous, Day of Indigenous Resistance in Venezuela. Dia de las Americas in Belize. Dia de las Culturas, Day of the Cultures in Costa Rica. Dia de Respeto a la Diversidad Cultural, Day of Respect for Cultural Diversity in Argentina. Discovery Day in the Bahamas and Colombia. Feast for Life of Aleister Crowley, celebrated as Crowley Mass in Thalema. Fiesta Nacional de España in Spain. Free Thought Day, which is something unheard of with the woke generation. Independence Day in Equatorial Guinea, celebrates independence of Equatorial Guinea from Spain in 1968. And it's International Day Against DRM. It's a grassroots international observance of protest against digital rights management technology. A lot of books are sold without digital rights. Let's see. In 638, Honorius I ends his reign as Catholic Pope. Pope Severinus is elected. 642, John IV ends his reign as Catholic Pope. 1160, Maurice de Sully is elected Bishop of Paris, and he will initiate a plan to build Notre Dame Cathedral. 1165, Jewish rabbi and philosopher Moses ben Maimon, also known as Maimonides or the Rambam, reaches Jerusalem. 1216, King John of England loses his crown jewels in the Wash as the flood tide swamps his wagons, probably near Fosdick, near Sutton Bridge. I don't know that they were ever recovered. 1285, 180 Jews refuse baptism in Munich, Germany, and are set on fire. 1366, King Frederick III of Sicily forbids decorations on synagogues. 1459, the Battle of Dunford Bridge. Richard of York is defeated. 1492, Flemish rebel leader Philip Van Cleef surrenders. When Columbus landed in 1592, made landfall on a Caribbean island, he named it San Salvador. Excuse me. It's likely it was Watling Island in the Bahamas. He believed he'd reached the East Asia. His plan was to sail west to actually go east. In 1504, Queen Isabella I of Spain signs her testament. 1509, Emperor Maximilian leaves Italy. 1518, the pontifical ambassador interrogates Martin Luther. 1549, John Dudley, Earl of Warwick, forces the Duke of Somerset out of his office as Lord Protector. 1576, Rudolf II succeeds Maximilian II as Holy Roman Emperor. By this time, though, the Holy Roman Emperor was not holy, he wasn't Roman, and there was no empire. 1711, Charles VI is crowned Holy Roman Emperor in Frankfurt. 1730, Christian VI succeeds Frederick IV as King of Denmark. 1740, English evangelist George Whitefield preaches to 30,000 people in Boston in the U.S. during the so-called Great Awakening. He was an Anglican preacher. 1776, on this date, a British brigade begins guarding Throgneck's Road in the Bronx. 1789, French Revolution. King Louis XVI writes secretly to the King of Spain about complaining of harsh treatment. The Count of Artois writes to the Austrian king requesting military intervention in France. Unfortunately for King Louis XVI, none of that happened. 1798, there's a Flemish uprising against French-occupied Borinquerigue. 1815. Ex-King Joaquin Murat of Naples is sentenced to death. In 1823, Charles McIntosh of Scotland had been selling raincoats that became known as Max. In 1859, self-proclaimed Emperor of the U.S., Emperor Norton, issues an edict abolishing the U.S. Congress. Would that he had that power. In 1861, the Confederate ironclad Manassas attacks the Union's Richmond on the Mississippi. 1861, Confederate General Jeb Stuart completes his second ride around McClellan's forces. 1864, War of the Triple Alliance begins with Brazilian troops under the command of General João Propicio Mina Barreto invading Uruguay. The president of Paraguay, Francisco Solano López, was one of those involved. 1871, President Grant condemns the KKK, which was started by Confederate veterans. 1900, the first modern submarine is commissioned by the U.S. Navy as the USS Holland, named for its designer, John Philip Holland. The first submarine was actually the Turtle, which set sail during the Revolution, I think it was. Unfortunately, it sank. Well, yesterday, we did our fifth installment of The Scariest Places in the World. We're going to do one more installment. We talked about the Kennecott Mine in Alaska. Now we're going to go to Montana and talk about Garnet, where ghosts seem to only come out in the cold in this deserted mining town. Caretakers claim to have heard footsteps in an old hotel and the sound of doors closing, even in areas where there are no doors today. According to local lore, human voices can be heard in the creaky buildings. If you want them to stop, you just have to touch the walls. And although this Montana town is named after the semi-precious ruby stone first mined in the area, the real riches come from gold. A strike in the 1890s turned a ragtag mining camp into a booming town of over 1,000 residents with 4 hotels, 2 barbershops, mercantile shop, a butcher, 13 saloons, no churches. Like many prosperous mining communities, Garnet had its share of gambling and prostitution, but for the most part, the vices stayed in check, at least away from the so-called respectable folks who held picnics and dances and fishing trips. The jail held mostly men who needed to sleep off a night of heavy drinking. But after about 20 years, the gold dwindled, chasing away the mining companies, and World War I emptied the town of the rest of the able-bodied men. By the early 1900s, only a few dozen people were left where once there had been well over 1,000. Aside from a brief boost from a rise in gold prices in the 1930s, Garnet's been all but abandoned. Today it stands as one of the most well-preserved ghost towns in the West. There are tens of thousands of tourists who come during the summer months. But during the brutal Montana winters, they leave the town to its phantom inhabitants. Local legend has it the spirits seem to prefer the solitude of the cold season when the roads are closed. And as Ellen Baumler of the Montana Historical Society says, the spirits dance to ghostly music. Anybody who visits the deserted town in the dead of winter should be prepared to meet them, she says. They hide in the shadows, laugh in the wind, and come out when you least expect them to.
For those who manage to venture into the town by skis or snowmobile, they may see a mysterious woman gazing out from an upstairs window of the JK Hotel that hadn't had a guest in decades. In nearby Kelly's Saloon, a piano can be heard playing on its own. And outside some buildings, footsteps in the snow lead to the front doors, but no one is ever seen leaving, and when the buildings are searched, whoever made the footsteps is never found. Then in Japan, we have Hashima Island. This crumbling land is so dangerous it scared away James Bond. Now, 9 miles off the shore of Nagasaki, Japan, is Hashima Island, a concrete jungle of crumbling, desolate buildings that once made up one of the most densely populated spots on the planet. In just 18 acres, there were 5,259 people, all there for one reason, to dig coal. Long owned by Mitsubishi, Hashima Island, nicknamed Vulcanjima, or Battleship Island for its warship shape, was a mining town that supplied fuel to Japan for over 100 years. During its long, dark history, it used Chinese and Korean prisoners of war to mine the coal. The laborers endured heat and humidity and beatings and starvation rations. From 1925 to 1945, an estimated 123 Koreans and 15 Chinese workers died on the island. But as petroleum replaced coal as a fuel, the island was deserted in the 70s and the buildings were just left to decay. These were the earliest Japan skyscrapers, and they've been reduced to heaps in many places, balconies collapsing, concrete chunks falling. It's a haunting example of industrial ruin that draws intrepid visitors even today. It's the very picture of an arch-villain's hideout. Hashima Island attracted the interest of the producers of the 2012 James Bond installment Skyfall. They wanted to use this hellscape as the lair of the 007 nemesis Silva, played by Javier Bardem. But after scouting the location, producers decided it was too dangerous. Instead, they filmed on duplicate sets on a soundstage. Although the island does appear in some of the exterior shots, there was a young man named Shao Jung-woo who was forced to work on the island from the age of 14. He was giving testimony in 1983, and he said, "Among my colleagues, about 40 people drowned while trying to break out from the island, or else they committed suicide." Then in Italy, we have Krakow. After centuries of upheaval and invasion, landslides finally emptied this medieval hilltop town. The ruins were featured in a 2004 film, The Passion of the Christ, and in 2008 James Bond movie, Quantum of Solace. You know, it's perched on top of a 1,300-foot cliff overlooking the Kavona River Valley. It's an ancient fortress town that has survived invasion, plunderers, plague, political upheaval, famous gangsters, famine. It survived everything except landslides. Archaeologists determine people have inhabited this hill near the sole of Italy's boot since the 8th century BC, and likely long before that. In the Middle Ages, feudal lords controlled this hilltop fortress. It now sits atop the cliff, as well as a university. Four large palazzi were added in the 15th century. With the population that reached more than 2,500, Krakow was hit by a series of upheavals. The plague in 1656 killed hundreds and sent a lot of others fleeing for safety. Into the 1700s, the town overthrew the Bourbon feudal powers, only to see the Bourbons return. And then it fell to Napoleonic forces, where Bourbon brigands periodically returned to kill and plunder. More strife engulfed the town during the battles for Italy's reunification in the 1800s. And for a time, folk hero gangster Carmine Croco ruled the town. But the biggest fatal threat was Mother Nature itself. Years of bad harvest sent more than 1,000 starving townspeople to North America in the late 1800s and early 1900s. And then in the early 1960s, a series of landslides triggered by erosion, earthquakes, and bad underground piping forced the remaining residents to evacuate, leaving the town abandoned. Today, Croco's ruins stand proudly on top of the hill, though across the dangerously crumbling structures, access is cut off by fences and gates. People only allowed back to Croco during the religious festival for the Virgin Mary and the town's patron saint, Vincenzo. The rest of the time, it's inhabited by ghosts. Then in the United Arab Emirates, we have Al Jazeera Al Hamra. Locals claim people who encountered the jinn slowly go insane. It's said when the villagers left, they were replaced by ghosts. Now, the town is frozen in time, as if one minute they were diving for pearls and the next racing out of their homes. Al Jazeera Al Hamra stands as one of the best examples of what the United Arab Emirates looked like before the oil industry changed everything. Now, why everybody left this town 50 years ago remains a mystery, and today only the ancient spirits inhabit this completely abandoned town. It's located on the Persian Gulf, 145 miles north of the capital city of Abu Dhabi. Al Jazeera Al Hamra, which translates as the Red Island, was a maritime community with a population of more than 2,000 people, living in a housing complex built from coral and beach stones. The roofs were made of woven date palms. Since the early 1800s, pearl fishing drove the local economy. The town had a fleet of about 24 pearl diving boats, and trading thrived. Then in the late 1960s, hundreds of families packed up everything they had and left. And while many other small old villages were also abandoned as a steady flow of oil money modernized the Gulf states, Al Jazeera Al Hamra escaped redevelopment in a wrecking ball. Since it was abandoned, the town has remained virtually untouched. As archaeologist Christian Veld told Al Jazeera, it's an interesting reflection of how these old towns and now cities in the UAE and beyond once looked. Debate swirls around why the town was actually deserted. Some say villagers sought better lives with new homes and modern public works in the Abu Dhabi area after the United Arab Emirates was created in 1971. Others suggest it was caused by a dispute, the causes of which have been lost to history, between the town's majority Al-Zab tribe and the nearby rulers. Today, the town is described as a ghost city, haunted by spirits called jinn, lurking in the ruins, making strange noises at night. Setting is so spooky that horror movies have been shot in the old town, but preservationists scoff at the ghost stories, saying the site should be preserved as a living museum to the Gulf region's history. You know, unfortunately, those that scoff at the stories don't spend time there. They're what I call ivory tower scientists. They pontificate, and you should believe what they say. Then in Louisiana, we have Six Flags New Orleans, an amusement park that was inundated by hurricane waters, and it's never reopened. It remained submerged for weeks after Hurricane Katrina in 2006. And you have to ask yourself, is there any place sadder than an abandoned amusement park? Well, in 2005, when Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans, Six Flags Park was submerged under up to 7 feet of water. It toppled concession stands, sent mud pouring into the food stalls, and wrecked the machinery of 80% of the rides. Well, when the water finally receded after over a month, this former fun zone, locally known by its original name of Jazzland when it first opened in 2000, had become a hellscape of broken windows, rusted railings, soiled clowns, and cracked Mardi Gras figures. Only a Batman-themed roller coaster actually survived. thanks to it being built on an elevated platform. Locks soon went up on the gates in a failed effort to keep out vandals and curious onlookers. Graffiti now covers almost every single surface. Even the bumper cars were tagged. With a surviving roller coaster shipped to another site, officials have considered resurrecting Six Flags as another theme park, although nothing has come of it. Some have suggested building an outlet mall on the 160-acre site, but that hadn't happened as well. Even tearing it down and selling it for scrap has proved to be prohibitively expensive for the city. For now, though, the only people interested in the park are Hollywood producers. Most recently, parts of 2021's Reminiscence starring Hugh Jackman was shot there. The locale worked well for the film, which is set in a dystopian city that's partly underwater. Still, New Orleans keeps seeking a solution. In December 2020, officials sought out bids for a developer in what was hoped to be a final push. 4 months later, a group of included retired Saints quarterback Drew Brees was among those three contenders who submitted proposals for the site. Nothing has come of it yet. Then in Washington, D.C., St. Elizabeth's Hospital. Thousands of lobotomies were performed within its walls before this mental institution was shut down and most of the people who had the lobotomies went to Congress. Looks like a set from a horror movie. Hypodermic needles and slides smeared with brain tissue littered the autopsy lab. In a surgical ward, blood-stained operating tables covered in rust. Paint peels from the walls and debris litters the floor. This is the birthplace of lobotomy. In Blackburn Lab, neuropathologist Walter Freeman lobotomized some 3,500 patients in the 50s and 60s. Including John F. Kennedy's sister, Rosemary. Over one 12-day period, he operated on 228 people, charging the exorbitant fee of $20 apiece. Opened in 1855 as Government Hospital for the Insane, St. Elizabeth's Hospital in the U.S. Capitol was once one of the leading institutions for the treatment of mental illness. Its reputation for science and innovation clouded by dark episodes from its history. In the 1940s, the Office of Strategic Service, the CIA's forerunner, partnered with the hospital in experiments with truth serum. They wanted to get prisoners of war to talk. After trying various drugs, researchers settled on marijuana. After smoking THC-laced cigarettes, the subject's thoughts flowed with considerable freedom. That's at least according to the report. And conversations became animated and accelerated. But in the end, like so many other of these brilliant ideas, the plan was deemed probably not adaptable for mass interrogation. Hospital cared for one presidential assassin and two would-be presidential murderers. Charles Gatow, after he killed James Garfield in 1881, Richard Lawrence, who attempted to kill Andrew Jackson in 1835, and John Hinckley Jr., who shot Ronald Reagan in 1981, all spent time here. But St. Elizabeth's was best known for Dr. Freeman's lobotomies until the practice fell out of favor with the advent of antipsychotic drugs. After Freeman performed his last lobotomy in 1967, the hospital declined as large-scale institutions gave way to outpatient services and ultimately the hospital closed. Federal officials are now seeking a new use for the old medical wards. You know, the actual histories are so much stranger and more disturbing than fiction ever could be, according to a number of authors. Then in Ukraine, we have Pripyat, a town that was emptied by the Chernobyl nuclear disaster. You know, what would the world really look like after the apocalypse? Well, an unsettling peek into a dystopian future can be found in northern Ukraine, where an entire city has been left abandoned for decades since the Chernobyl nuclear station disaster. The Soviet-era city of Pripyat was once a thriving community of 49,000 residents, many of whom worked at the nuclear plant, which is just 2 miles away. It had restaurants, a hospital, a sports field, a discotheque, a movie theater, schools. Then on April 26, 1986, the plant's reactor exploded during a routine test, unleashing radioactive material for miles around. It was the worst nuclear accident in history, and a subsequent fire would kill 28 workers. Untold thousands of others later died from the effects of radiation. For a day, though, life went on in Pripyat until finally, just after noon on April 27th, electricity was shut off and evacuations was ordered. People grabbed what they could and fled. They were told they'd be gone for just 2 or 3 days, but they were never allowed to return. The city's in what's called an exclusion zone circle, which measures 18 miles from the plant. Immediately, everything stopped. The amusement park halted, the Ferris wheel and bumper cars in mid-ride. Kids left their stuffed animals sitting on apartment shelves, and old Soviet propaganda posters still hang on government office walls. The clocks all say 11:55 a.m. But in recent years, as radiation levels have reached tolerable levels, Pripyat has become a destination both for extreme tourists and wildlife, which has now happily returned without humans around. The sad thing, to my way of thinking, when a town like this is abandoned, is all the pets that are left behind. Then we have a few other, well, for lack of a better term, forsaken sites. We have a headless ghost that haunts a desolate hotel. And there's a deserted gold rush town that is said to be cursed. In New York, we have North Brother Island. You know, there really was a Typhoid Mary, and this is where they sent her. America's first documented carrier of the typhoid fever bacteria, Mary Malone was linked to dozens of cases in the early 1900s and spent her life under quarantine at Riverside Hospital on this East River Island between the Bronx and Rikers Island until her death in 1938. After the hospital closed in 1963, it fell into disrepair while the island was placed off limits to visitors. It's still off limits to visitors. Then we, in India, we have Ross Island. You know, some of the prisoners here had medicines tested on them, caused severe side effects. You know, prisoners captured during the Indian Mutiny of 1857 are sent to the British penal colony on a remote island in the Bay of Bengal. They suffered brutally. Disease, death. Occupied by the Japanese during World War II, the colony is later abandoned, and all the structures, from the hospital to the pool used by the staff, are sit in the sun, just crumbling and being swallowed up by nature. Then in the UK, we've got Crookham Court Manor School. After a series of highly publicized child abuse allegations, this boarding school for boys was closed in 1989, so abruptly it looked as if the students were sent to recess and never came back. Deep layer of dust has settled on the shuttered classrooms, littered with unfinished homework and on the books in the fully stocked library of the 19th century building. 3 staff members would later be convicted of sexual abuse charges. But that doesn't address the issue of the complete and total abandonment. Just like the Marie Celeste, food on the table. Looks as if folks had just walked away for a few minutes. Then in Nevis, we have the Eden Brown Estate. You know, 2 men fell in love with Julia Huggins in the early 1800s. Unfortunately, one was her husband-to-be, the other was his best man. Right around what was to be the wedding day, they squared off in a duel for the heart of this wealthy woman whose father built a newlywed home for her on a plantation on the tiny Caribbean island of Nevis. The outcome of that duel is clouded by history, but clearly it ended poorly for Julia. Her spirit now haunts the plantation ruins. No one knows what happened to the participants. Italy, we've got the Via di Vecchi. Built in the 1850s in the forest near Lake Como is a dream home for Count Felix di Vecchi. It's a posh villa with fresco-covered walls and the latest in indoor plumbing. But it brought nothing but nightmares. Its architect suddenly died before it was finished. The nobleman's wife was brutally murdered and his daughter went missing. The Count himself died by suicide. After going through several owners, the villa was deserted in the 1960s, left to vandals and occultists engaging in orgies and animal sacrifice. the truth of all these negative occurrences will probably never be known. Then in California, we have Bodie, the city that is said by many to be haunted. People insist that anybody who walks away with a memento from this well-preserved gold mining ghost town in the Northern California desert, whether it be a piece of china or an old rusty nail, has been known to suffer so much bad luck that they packed up these items and sent them back to the State Park Service, which now protects the site. The curse of Bodie is discussed, usually in a whisper, by many. Then in the Philippines, we have the Diplomat Hotel. Built in 1913 as a retreat for Dominican friars, this hilltop house became World War II hellholes, invading Japanese troops, raped and tortured and decapitated nuns and priests and refugees during the war. And in the 1970s, it was restored into a swanky 33-room hotel before it was abandoned in the 80s and left to the headless ghost, who could be heard at night screaming in terror as they run from their tormentors for all eternity. Then we have, in California, a place I've been to, the Salton Sea. This popular resort to the 50s and 60s saw things change drastically as a lake, which had no natural outflow, became too salty and polluted with fertilizer runoff from neighboring farms. Algae blooms exploded and the fish died, washing ashore in rotting piles. The stench scared away tourists in the 70s with its smell so bad that there were odor advisories published by the state. How about in Brussels, Anderlecht Veterinary School? A mad scientist would feel right at home in this creepy laboratories of this complex of early 20th century buildings. They were abandoned in 1991. Body parts from dogs and cats and rats and pigs sat around for years floating in jars of formaldehyde along with miscellaneous medical gear, which is still strewn about. The site was finally cleaned up in 2014 for conversion into apartments. But unfortunately, the atmosphere couldn't be cleaned. Then in Antarctica, we have Discovery Hut. It's considered the loneliest building on Earth. It's a wooden hut erected in 1902 for forbidding Ross Island as the base for expeditions by British explorers. The building is prefabricated in warm Australia and shipped to Antarctica. Unfortunately, the hut proved to be poorly designed for the heavy snow and punishing winds. Ernest Shackleton found the front door blown off its hinges when he got there in 1908, and it was ultimately abandoned, although the shelves of supplies remain well-preserved to this day in the freezing temperatures. If you should find yourself there, at least you can have something to eat. Well, unfortunately, you know, the world is a much scarier place than we'd like to believe. Sometimes the human mind is all right. You know, we also have Rainham Hall that I mentioned before, but we're going to address it once again. The Brown Lady has been seen quite often gliding through the corridors of this English manor. You know, several staff members resigned after another guest, Major Loftus, claimed to have seen the ghost several times over Christmas of 1849. The Brown Lady is actually Lady Dorothy Walpole, the sister of the first British Prime Minister. In fact, another guest, Captain Frederick Marriott, actually shot the scary specter. And there's a number of photographs that show what appear to be a ghostly figure coming down the grand staircase. The captain that shot the at the figure, Captain Frederick Marryat, was a good friend of Charles Dickens. In the summer of 1835, he paid a visit to the English country house with the express intention of disproving once and for all the stories he'd heard about the ghost of the Brown Lady. He spent two nights at the Townsend family estate. He slept with a gun under his pillow just in case. You never can be too careful when you're dealing with ghosts. Never got so much as a glimpse of the ghost, said to be that of Lady Walpole. Her angry husband, according to the story, locked her up in a room in the 1700s after he caught her cheating on him. Didn't let her out until she died a lonely death from smallpox in 1726. She was only 40 years old. And by all accounts, quite a lovely lady. On the third night, Captain Marryat was in the house. He saw a woman in the corridor actually drifting toward him. She was holding a lantern, and he could tell in that dim light and from her 18th century brown brocade dress that she was, in fact, the ghostly Brown Lady. According to what Marriott's daughter wrote later, he saw her grin at him in a malicious and diabolical manner. So he jumped into the corridor with a bound and fired his pistol at her. Well, as most entities would do when shot at, she vanished. Many others have reported gazing in terror at this tortured soul with a glowing face and dark holes for eyes. But none more famous than a photographer for Country Life magazine. He claims to have captured her image on film in 1936. In that black and white picture of this wispy white figure coming down the stairs became a global sensation. And it's still being debated to this day as to whether it is a real or a fake. Well, you also have to keep in mind that in spite of our vaunted science, we don't really know the answers to all the questions, especially what happens after you die. Amiji Castle in Japan is a prime example. It's a fortress of beauty and strength protected by magic tiles and said to be haunted by a phantom. It's the most visited castle in Japan. For 400 years, Amiji Castle survived wars and the elements. It's now considered a majestic white icon of 17th century Japanese architecture. Not even the bombs of World War II damaged this citadel known as the White Heron Castle. By anybody's imagination, it's an impressive feat of planning and construction. It's also been protected, according to folklore, by the ogre-shaped traditional kawara ceramic tiles positioned at the end of the roof ridges. It's said to repel evil spirits and shields the fortress from attackers. And frankly, it has never been, not even during World War II, assaulted. It's built on a site used as a fortress since the 14th century. It was expanded in the early 1600s to a complex of 83 buildings. It has turrets and gates and storehouses, all built with obsessive craftsmanship. One legend tells of a master carpenter who came so consumed with his work that his workmanship fell short of a perfection. He climbed to the top of a castle keep, put his chisel in his mouth, and jumped to his death. Little drastic reaction, don't you think? You know, 13 of the original 33 wells still remain in operation, including one that some believe is haunted by the ghost of Okiku, lady-in-waiting wrongfully accused of stealing one of the Lord's 10 valuable plates. Tortured and tossed into the well, her voice can be heard rising from the dark depths, counting 1 to 9. And when she gets to the number 10, she lets out a wail As you might guess, it's now called the Okiku Well. She's exacted revenge by haunting the complex, wailing about the injustice she received. And then, of course, let us not forget the St. Augustine Lighthouse, where specters scream and smoke and laugh in this old colorful tower. It's got a cherry candy stripe paint job, but don't let it fool you. This nearly 150-year-old lighthouse on Florida's Anastasia Island stands as much a beacon for ghosts as it does for ships. Built on land where Ponce de Leon thought he'd find the Fountain of Youth, the lighthouse is the domain of its long-dead keepers. The late Peter Rasmussen, who was the head keeper of the lighthouse for 20 years, early 1900s, still keeps things clean and operational while puffing his favorite cigars. Many visitors have claimed to smell the cigars even today. More ominously, the screams of Joseph Andreu, whose career and life came to a violent end when he fell from scaffolding while painting the tower, can still be heard echoing throughout the structure. And then there are the sisters Mary and Eliza Petit and their playmate, who drowned in 1873 during construction of the tower. They come back for more fun and games like hide-and-seek. Skeptics say the noises attributed to a ghost are probably just from seagulls in the wind. But there are believers who swear that they hear young girls giggling. And they like to pull pranks. One tour guide claimed to have had her ankle grabbed, which was amusing since it was in the middle of her tours. Looked like she just randomly tripped over something that wasn't there. Now operated as a museum, this lighthouse embraces its haunted reputation. The TV Ghost Hunter show found it the paranormal activity so robust it shot 2 episodes there. And for those who like to indulge in some amateur ghost hunting, the museum offers 90-minute ghost tours during the day, and for the bravest, nighttime tours illuminated by glowing sticks, complete with the very own electromagnetic field meter. Well, there are many, many haunted locations where it's said that the ghost wander. Zhukov Castle in the Czech Republic, perched on a steep promontory over the confluence of the Vltava and Octaville rivers, this early Gothic castle dates back to the 13th century, and it's withstood attacks during the Hussite Wars of the 1400s and the Thirty Years' War of the 1600s. It's now host to a ghost that makes animals act crazy and blows out candles and fires. You can actually book rooms there. But legend has anybody who sleeps in the main tower is going to die within a year. Do you really want to roll the dice and take a chance? And one of my favorite places, of course, is the Queen Mary in California. I stayed there for several days. It's a 1,000-foot-long ocean liner that transported the rich and famous in style and troops across the Atlantic during World War II. Now sits permanently docked in the harbor at Long Beach, California. Only the regular passengers these days are spirits, and those who stay there since it operates as a hotel. In one of the old staterooms, cabin in B340, the spontaneous toilet flushings and flying bed sheets and breathy warnings to get out so scared the guests that the room was permanently locked for a number of years. Reopened for guests who want to take a walk on the what you might call the wild side. Well, we come to the end of tonight's show. We'll be back with a new topic tomorrow. Until then, this is Ken Hudnall for the Ken Hudnall Show, saying have a truly great evening.